Welcome to episode 199 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on October 6th, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a different topic or news and how it relates to you. For this episode, the Azure AD team was nice and provided us a topic to talk about with the recent Azure AD outage back on September 28th, 2020. After that, we dive into a newly announced feature from Ignite, Microsoft 365 Lighthouse, as well as discuss a couple of new connectors that are coming to Power Automate to help you with your security in Microsoft 365.
I'm going a little crazy trying to figure some things out post-Ignite here.
Are you trying to figure out why Azure AD keeps going down? Oh, sorry.
No,
that was going to be nice.
Thou shalt not talk about RDFE.
Here I was trying to be nice. I wasn't going to throw Microsoft under the bus. And it took me all of about 60 seconds.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, we can talk about it. Azure AD did have another outage. And they had a big one a couple years ago when there was a natural disaster sort of-ish event at some of the data centers in South Central US, which is kind of one of the primary locations for some Azure AD infrastructure. And some of this is documented and it's been called out in RCAs and things like that. So say you are you're somebody who resides in the EU, there may be certain pieces of metadata about you that have to come from the US, something like a one-time PIN for MFA when you authenticate through. And, you know, that tells you that there is a dependency on some certain regions and some certain services that live in some certain places. So a couple years ago, I think it was back in 2018? It was almost 2 years ago now? 2018 or 2019.
Was it really that long ago already?
Yeah, I think it was about 2 years ago. There was flooding. It was during a storm. There was lightning strikes. There were some outages that were associated with that for physical equipment. So like generators had to be shut down. And yeah, it just led to effectively a global outage for Azure AD.
Right. And it was like cascading failures too. It was like one thing led to another, led to another, led to another. And
yes. Yeah. It's a thing, right? So you try and roll the service over. And if all your traffic that was going to the server under your desk suddenly has to go to, you know, the server under somebody else's desk, all the routing and everything that goes into that, plus just that influx of traffic that, you know, was probably not expected in that system, and your ability to scale become pretty important. And Azure AD is a pretty critical component of Azure and Office 365 and Microsoft 365, all of these things. It is the identity provider for the Azure portal. It's the identity provider for the management plane of Azure. So if you're trying to do an operation through the REST APIs or through the client tooling like the CLI or PowerShell, you got to go through Azure AD to do that. You can have other relying parties in there, like you could do ADFS or Okta or Ping Federate or something like that. But ultimately, the one IDP that rules them all for all these Microsoft services is Azure Active Directory. And when it goes down, it can be a little painful. It's not too bad if you already have an authentication token. So you've already authenticated to the service and you can be authorized through whatever authorization mechanism needs to kick in. Like in the case of Azure, you know, you hit Azure role-based access control, Office 365. You might have your role cached depending on if it's an Azure AD role or a 365 specific role, whatever it happens to be. Now, if you don't have a token or your token has expired, then you are having what is referred to as a no good, very bad, horrible day.
Yes. And I had one of those. So I was actually wrapping up a presentation on the Monday that it happened. And all of a sudden I went to log in and I got a 503 error. And I was like, that's probably not good, because if it's the hotel internet or the conference internet, usually it's like a 404 error or the network connection died. But a 503 is like, hey, your network's still up. you're still getting to it, but we don't want to actually process that request properly.
Yeah. So what I would do in this case is, obviously it did go down. There was an outage. Microsoft is fairly transparent about bringing forward RCAs around these events. So kind of getting an official root cause out there, and also explaining what not only the current mitigation is, but what a forward-thinking mitigation could be around those. So in this case, because it is Azure AD, it's an Azure service. You can go find the RCA on the Azure status history page. I encourage everyone, like, if this impacted you, go read this now while it's still on this page and before it ages out. But you're looking for tracking ID SM79-F88. I'll put a link to the status page in the show notes. That kind of, it should be the first event on the page until or if something else happens along the way. But long story short, there was a service update that was going on. That was, and the way updates roll out is they roll through multiple rings, right? Like most of us are familiar with deployment rings inside things like Windows and Windows Server. Same thing happens inside of Azure services and Office 365 services. You kind of start with that canary ring or that tightest ring that you can. Maybe that's an internal like dev ring, and then you let it filter out from there and get to where it needs to be. Anyway, that service was targeted to an internal deployment ring. It caused a crash when it started up in some other Azure AD backend services. And it turns out that there was a code defect, like there was a squirrely path that you could go down in what's called the Azure AD backend safe deployment process, or the SDP system. And that defect actually caused that deployment, which targeted an internal test ring and a crash of some Azure AD backend services, to deploy directly into the production environment. So it just kind of totally bypassed the existing validation processes that are in place, and it got out there. So to mitigate that, you've got to go ahead and obviously revert it. Like, you've got to get that bad code out of there. But it turns out that potentially there's other things that get corrupted along the way, like deployment metadata. Maybe you have to manually roll back some of those other services that initially crashed. And that stuff just takes time, right? To go reboot the servers, find the right impacted things, bring them back up, make sure that the management plane can come back up, and then that all these other external services like login.microsoft online and things like that can get back to where they need to be.
Yeah. Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business. And that was the interesting one about this one, watching, because we were at this conference. This was like day one of the conference, and everybody
was hoping. Well, you were at a conference. I was in my
hideout. I was at a conference, and it was like day one, and everybody was hoping it was going to be back up by the next day. And we saw things like, we've identified it. We think it's due to this change. We're rolling back the change now. And then the next status update from, I can't remember if it went out on Twitter. So if you don't follow that msft365status.com or ms365status Twitter account, and the next update was like, we rolled back the changes and it didn't fix the issue. And at that point in time, I'm like, this usually isn't good when they go like initiate their automated rollback and it can't fix it. And if you do go look at the RCA, they explain that that happened due to the corruption, and they actually had to manually update the configurations instead of using their automated rollback process. So it was interesting, to say the least.
All up, it was an outage of about 3 hours. It in- it occurred at an unfortunate time, right? Like deployment times, you know, they're all listed in UTC and the RCA. So you're coming in at what, 21:25, yeah, you know, about 9:25 UTC, and that's like, you know, 5 p.m. and over here in the East Coast, no good.
Yep. Yeah, it was not, yeah. But it's all back.
It's all back. Sometimes you don't know what's going to break until it breaks. So again, I would go back to, this was an outage. Was it bad? Yes. Do things need to be improved? Yes. Will things be improved? Yes. Did you actually have to hop in your car, hop on a plane, or do anything to drive to a data center to fix it? No. Somebody else had to do that. You know, hopefully, you know, after you've seen a couple of these, you can think about ways to kind of mitigate it yourself in the future.
Right. Some additional redundancy so this doesn't happen. The interesting thing was, is I did see some of the status updates too, is it was starting to affect some of the gov tenants too, which usually when it hits commercial, it doesn't hit gov as well. So I don't know what happened there, or if it was just a few random gov tenants, but yeah.
Yeah. Stuff. What are you going to do? It's cloudy.
Yes. It was funny. So when all this happened, one of the comic, like I threw some random comics in my presentations. And one of the things, it was one to the effect of, the only thing that you need to be scared of when it comes to the clouds is lightning. And then Azure AD went down, and then it brought back all the lightning memories of when it went down 2 years ago. And it's like, well, maybe you really do have to be scared of lightning with the Microsoft cloud. Anyways, like you said, it's all back. Overall, at least it wasn't like 8 hours. It was, I mean, 3 hours is still it's an outage, but it was, I consider that a relatively short outage for how major it appeared at the time it happened.
Yeah. Stuff.
So, stuff. Along with that, we have some news we can talk about too. We don't need to spend the whole time talking about Azure AD.
No? Okay.
I sent you a bunch of news articles. Do you want me to pick one, or do you want to pick one?
I can certainly pick one. We talked in the past, and I think we gave out the URL to the network connectivity dashboard inside of the Microsoft 365 Admin Center. So there was no kind of native link to get to that. You had to know the URI that it landed on. Yep. That is officially launched and it's out now. So you can just go into your admin center. It should be available worldwide now. Go to health and then network connectivity, and you don't need to keep track of special URLs or anything like that anymore.
No, and the article does say that it's still preview. It's like a broadly available preview. So I think, like you said, it's available everywhere. It's available no matter what ring your tenant is on. But technically, it's still like a preview page or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, under health, there's a network connectivity link now to pull up the Microsoft 365 network connectivity. It's essentially a dashboard to give you insights about the connectivity within your various clients to your tenant.
Yeah. So there's some cool stuff in there that I didn't notice before. One was the office location identification. So if you enable Windows location services on your client machines, that telemetry that goes through to Microsoft 365 from those clients, that can be detected. And then they'll go ahead on the service side and they round that to an accuracy of 300 meters by 300 meters, so 900 square meters. And you can actually see, like on a map, where your clients fall out when they're accessing services, which I thought was kind of cool. Because, you know, you can certainly see like, you know, cities and states and things like that before. And even on the Azure AD side, like go into Azure AD, filter by a login report, show me all the geos these people came from, and then maybe like build your own dashboard. And now it's all just kind of out there and ready to go, which I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Did you see the SD-WAN configuration thing down at the bottom of it too?
Yeah, that's a new partnership with Cisco. So it's called Informed Network Routing. It will allow SD-WAN branch routers to select the best possible path for that Microsoft 365 destined traffic, which is kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. That one looks like it's still in private preview.
Yes. And
obviously, it depends on you having Cisco SD-WAN branch routers and having all the right hardware in place to actually leverage it. But the work they're doing to kind of help organizations improve that network connectivity and see what's really going on, because it's something we've talked about for a long time, but there haven't always been great tools or reporting that you could literally go to somebody and say, look, here's the network connectivity dashboard. Here's some of these tools. Here's these reports. Let's go fix this so we can give our end users a better experience.
You know, I wonder how much of this continues to be related to get your clients on the internet as soon as you can.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
You know,
that as much as you say it, that seems to be missed way more frequently than it should be.
Turns out, who knew?
Yes. As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro. So there was another one that kind of relates to, indirectly relates to this. I got excited about this. There was an announcement for Microsoft 365 Lighthouse, and I missed this until post-Ignite. We have had Azure Lighthouse that I think was announced a year ago at Ignite for MSPs to help manage all of their clients in Azure and manage, various client instances. Now we have Microsoft 365 Lighthouse for managed service providers serving small and medium customers.
Yes. And I especially like that part of that announcement, right? Like targeting that specific subset.
Right. I mean, that tends to be like, I do some consulting for really large companies, but those aren't the ones that I would really use this with because they have their own IT departments. They have their own people watching it. I'm more like, those customers that tend to come in when it's not as much the basic support. But then I do have some customers that fall in that small and medium size range where like they call me for all kinds of random stuff from OneDrive not syncing to SharePoint not being up to issues with Azure AD. And this Microsoft 365 Lighthouse is, again, geared towards IT partners, MSPs that are managing multiple Microsoft 365 customers and kind of giving you a central place to go to manage those. So today we do have the Partner Center. Like I can go into the Partner Center and I can get to a bunch of tenant information, but this is going to help you with like device compliance stuff, with threats and antivirus, user access management, a whole bunch of more preventative maintenance type stuff, more so than let's just go in and make a configuration change for you.
Yeah, no, I think it's all good information to kind of bring front and center. So, you know, say you're an MSP and you have a new service offering to go out and help your customers deploy Intune for MDM, you know, go ahead and get Lighthouse set up for all of those customers. And now you can have one dashboard that shows you device compliance. So show me who's in compliance, where it's rolled out and where that's going across all of my customers, right? And then like give that dashboard to your sales team or whoever and let them get out there and go say, hey, look how many great clients we enabled for all these kinds of things. I think the AV protection and having some of like the threat and antivirus protection stuff brought forward is also really cool as well. Like I think about some of like the SMB customers that I used to work with. Like once you start working with customers like that, you tend to stick to a locality because you get a name for yourself. And, you know, it makes it easier to sell those services kind of in the market you're in. At least that was always kind of my experience with it. And, you know, being able to see like, oh, I've got a customer who's being hit by an active attack right now. Let me be proactive and reach out to my other customers and let them know to look out for this, or let's make sure that they have the mitigations in place so they're not hit with it. is super cool stuff. I think it'll also encourage a lot of MSPs, like based on the capabilities that they're bringing forward in some of those dashboards and things, like they're pretty clearly focused on surfacing telemetry from add-on products like Intune or Defender, things like that, or products that are included in kind of super SKUs, you know, like your business premiums and whatnot. So potentially it's a vehicle to get MSPs to actually sell more of those as well, which seems like a win for Microsoft. And, you know, if it brings MSPs more business, win for them as well.
Yep. And I'm looking forward to this user access management too. So in there, it's going to be things like resetting passwords, blocking access, assigning licenses, delegating access to OneDrive, to mailboxes. Some of that stuff that, frankly, I have multiple profiles set up for in Edge or in Chrome or Credge or Chrome. Or you always are logging out of your tenant and into different customer tenants to go do all of that stuff is... Now it's just going to have a single list of all the users across all of your customers. So you can just quickly jump into any one of those user accounts and perform some of those basic user management tasks.
Yes. Yep.
I think there's a lot of people that are really like that. Although reset a password, I mean, come on, turn on self-service password reset.
If only it was that easy.
Just
is it that
saying.
Easy?
It is that easy.
I mean, it's a checkbox. You got to figure out the checkbox. That's hard.
Unless you're syncing with AD on-prem, and then you need your write-back permissions, and then you need to go buy a premium license.
I know you've filled out the form for access to this one. It's not in public preview. It is in private preview, but there's a form out there. It's open for a little while longer. And, you know, just put in your partner name, who your contact is. Certainly your partner, you should have like an MPN ID, a Microsoft Partner Network ID. Give them that information and, you know, see if you get a response and you can enter into that program at all.
Yep. And we'll put a link in the show notes if you're just listening to it and want to remember it. It's aka.ms/lighthouse-next-step, which redirects you to Microsoft Forms. And like I said, go fill it out. But you do need a bunch of that partner information and stuff like how many customers you manage and what the size of your customers are and users and all of that. So they do want some of those details about your partnership and IDs and how many people you're managing, clients you're managing.
Yes. If you went and initially filled that form out and you were confused by some of the terminology on there, like TPIDs and things like that, they removed some of that stuff from the form. So it should be a little bit easier if you're just like a partner CSP, like a direct CSP, things like that, to get it filled out.
Nice. So I have another announcement that was, well, I have a couple of them I should go to. I'm going to go to this one because this one was kind of interesting to me and it didn't show up on the Microsoft 365 blog. It showed up on the Power Platform blog. And they released, so some of these, they do like 9 new connectors released in September 2020. They're up over 400 connectors now. Good for them.
But so we're talking about connectors in Power Automate. Power Automate.
Power Platform. Power Automate specifically.
Yes.
So this is in September, Power Automate saw the introduction of 9 brand new connectors. Pushed them over 400.
Are you sure it was Power Automate? Because the website is still flow.microsoft.com. Ooh, oh, sorry. Don't mind me.
We're done. This is what I get for recording a podcast episode in the afternoon. You get all smart with me.
this cup of coffee that I'm sucking down, this is like my fifth one for the day. So,
this caffeinated on caffeine. But I kind of flip through these and a lot of times... they're kind of like me. There were a couple of connectors. Maybe I'll use them. Maybe I won't. But there were a couple new ones in this update from September. So there was a connector for Azure AD Identity Protection. And this is a connector, or this tool, this part of Azure AD, is the one that's tied to identity-based risks and environment, investigation, discovery, remediation of all those different identity-based risks. So now you can actually retrieve information. I haven't looked. Do they have triggers in this too? I was just going to go look. They have Power Automate Logic Apps. It is a premium connector in Power Automate because it's Azure. I should have looked up triggers.
So, but it's a connector that's available in other services as well. So it's premium in Power Automate, Logic but apps. It's a standard connector inside of Logic Apps. And it's available pretty much everywhere. Well, Logic Apps is going to give you the best coverage because it's a standard connector there and it's available in GCC. On the Power Automate and Power App side, it is a premium connector and it is not available in GCC or GCC High.
Yep.
Nice and confusing and straightforward.
Yeah, it doesn't have any triggers, but it does have actions. So you can go confirm a risky user is compromised. So you could I don't know what you would trigger off of. I'm going to have to go look. But you can confirm risky users as compromised, dismiss a risky user, get risk detections.
Yeah, I think you would just have to run it in a polling process and get any risky detections. And then based on new detections, go and inform the users.
Yep.
Hey, great way to get extra risky usage of a premium connector, right? Let's just put this thing in a loop and let it run every 10 minutes.
Because one of them is get risky user too. So you could go get risky users and then send it through a review process and confirm or dismiss them, get the risk history of a risky user. But it does allow you to pull in some of that risky user information and leverage it within technically anything, because you can use it in Power Apps too.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry Software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry Software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email.
So that was one of them. And then there was another one in there, was the Microsoft 365 compliance connector. That same thing, premium in Power Automate, premium in Power Apps. This one, however, is not available in Logic Apps.
Weird, right? But what you gonna do?
Yeah, since go write your own HTTP call to their API. This one as well just has actions, no triggers on this. But this one is add insider risk management, case notes, communication compliance, get communication compliance violation metadata, inside risk management alert, insider risk management alerts for a case. Yeah. So different things around risk management cases with compliance. Again, just interesting to see them start adding some more of these Microsoft 365 Azure AD connectors in there to increase what you're able to do with Power Automate if you want to pay for premium connectors.
If. There's always an if.
Or if you already pay for premium connectors. So those are just a couple new interesting tidbits I caught from Power Automate, because sometimes some of that stuff sneaks out and doesn't get picked up in the typical Microsoft 365 blogs or news.
Mm-hmm. We should do a little follow-up too before we end. We talked about SharePoint syntax and kind of speculations on pricing around that because it hadn't been released. That has been released and is out and about as well. So SharePoint syntax is, well, at least in the US here, $5 per user per month with an annual commitment.
And it is available. Where did I see? I saw it. It's available as an add-on to E3s as well. I don't have it. We can go find it. Maybe it's in the FAQ. Management of data model roles, machine training. I don't know where it went. Somewhere I saw the licensing, but it's essentially an add-on to almost all of the plans. You don't have to be at an E5 to have this as an add-on to your Office 365 environment.
Yes.
I don't know where that went. I had it at one point in time. But I did go in and look in that same conversation, Scott. Remember we were talking about how much it costs to per user?
We were getting up there for you. Once we cross $100 per user per month, it's
I am not up there yet, but I did go in. I am 57 for Microsoft 365 E5. I'm 12 for my domestic calling for my PSTN phone number. So I'm up at 69. I am another 12 for advanced communication, which gives me, I don't necessarily need it, but I like to have everything lit up. But it's a whole bunch of additional Teams functionality that's really geared towards organizations way bigger than I, but I want to have it on. So that brings me up to what, $69.79.81. And then $5 for the SKU for Syntex is intelligent content services. So that gets me up to $86 per month per user.
Yeah.
Within my environment.
You're getting there. Do you feel like you're living the dream yet?
No. And if I want to add international calling,
you were very quick to say no there. I'm just going to.
Yeah. That would put me right up at like $98. So if you are looking to light up literally everything in your tenant, you very easily can get up around $100 per user per month now.
Man, I can feel that value being inflicted on all of us.
But I can't actually speak to the usage of Syntex. This is going to have to be a future episode. Because I'm an indirect CSP, so I go get all of my licenses through a direct CSP. And they have a whole provisioning. So essentially, I go buy the services, I go activate it, and they're supposed to push it into my tenant.
Mm-hmm.
Their process for activating Syntex within my tenant right now is failing. So I have a ticket open with them.
I shall pretend I am shocked, but
I see that
you can see the surprise, right? Like I'm doing a good job.
I was going to say, go watch this YouTube video and look at the surprise look on Scott's face. His jaw hit the floor.
Yes. Yeah. It was a thing.
Not really. So that will be a future episode once I get it lit up and I can actually play around with it. We've got lots of episodes because there's a few things I need to start lighting up and playing with. Project Oakdale being another one.
Yeah. We got to get you playing around with that HomeSite app for Microsoft Teams. There's all sorts of like goodies out there.
This continuous access evaluation is intriguing. Have you seen continuous access evaluation yet?
Well, I've heard about it because you've mentioned it a few times, but I have not seen it yet.
This is another one we'll do. So there's some teasers that we will talk about. And then we have the Virtual Hub and Video Hub that maybe we'll talk about next week or next episode as well.
Yes, we should get into those too.
Yeah. All right. But for now, Scott, you have conference calls. I don't know what I have. I think I have work I have to go to.
I got to get back to program manager life here. Somebody listens to me. All right. I'll talk to you later, Beth.
Go enjoy your program manager life. All right. We'll talk to you later, Scott.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.